Well, we can now talk to Nathan Buckley, coach of the Pies, who are in their final match for the round. They had a big win over the Cats on the weekend, which is a buoyant way to finish out the season, particularly if they can knock off the Bombers this weekend. Thanks for your time, Bucks, late in the year.
Thanks, Jared. Yeah, you never count your chickens, as you can tell by the how the season pans out. But no, we're looking forward to the game against Essendon.
It's a really incredible season, Bucks. It's almost impossible to believe from one week to the other. It must be really frustrating and difficult to coach in that circumstances, but there's been more crystal balls smashed this year than any other year I can remember.
Yeah, well, it's going to end up being quite a unique year. I think the eighth place side will probably be on 14 wins, either by by default or 14 legitimate wins. Mm. So it's going to be quite a gap between the eighth and ninth, more than likely, and not very often that you need 14 wins to make that eighth, to make that top eight, but it probably shows that the sides just outside the eight lost those 8-point games against the sides just inside the eight, and that's where the shift is at. But there's a lot of competition in the comp. It's really tight, and it'll only head that way further in the next couple of years.
The big gap, Bucks, is between you guys who are 12th at the moment, and you might end up 9th, but the big gap is between 12th and 13th. You look at the sides out of the 8, there's not one team outside of the 8 that doesn't expect to make the 8, and the people think it will be a contender for the 8 next year. You've shown some great signs. We expect you guys to be. You're 12th, Geelong's 11th, GWS 10th, and Port Adelaide 9th. It's a strong competition down to 12th, and it's going to be tough again next year.
Yeah, it's designed that way, with the salary cap and the draft, and we know that all things are not equal. The fixture's not equal. The draft concessions, salary caps aren't equal, and all of it is designed around one is looking after non-traditional states to AFL, but also with the extent of trying to make the competition as even as possible. You know, if you had each of the 18 teams winning a premiership once in an 18 year cycle, well then that's the ultimate competitive balance. But that's unlikely to happen. But what we are seeing is the evening up of the comp, and I think any team on any day can definitely perform and potentially win a game of footy if they're up for it.
And I think what's really interesting at the moment is we've got potentially the most exciting finals eight that we've had for a long, long time. And yet, over the top of all of that discussion about great matches coming up, we're going to have, it seems, great discussion, lots of discussion about players trading off their players or players trading clubs and clubs trading their players. It seems like every time a player comes out of contract now, Bucks, it's absolutely a chance for them to change clubs rather than a chance really just to solidify themselves as a one-club player.
Yeah, I think that's modern. That's probably the modern business of footy and the fact that, you know, I think that the Players Association, the free agency, the AFL themselves trying to facilitate more player movement so that we can maintain that competitive balance. The free agency was brought about to try and spread the talent across the competition a little bit. It probably hasn't gone that way to date, but the PA are really strong on trying to give players more control over their careers. Clubs themselves are still, I think they're still trying to work towards having cultures that are consistent and that build over time, and that you reward players for their loyalty and vice versa. So it's an interesting dynamic, but the reality is that if you make the most of what you've got, if you've got a good program, if you've got a good culture, and you make your players feel welcome and valued, and they return and reciprocate with performance, then you're going to be heading in the right direction.
It's a bit like when clubs were down the bottom of the ladder when the new franchises came in. They were absolutely compromised. They weren't able to get the best first round picks, and it hurt them. And I think the same is applying now to Brisbane, who aren't a club of destination at the present time. But with everybody's capacity to now move clubs with free agency, it seems very difficult. It seems really one of the more difficult assignments for the AFL to get that club back on its feet. Because I guess the question is, why would you stay?
Yeah, well, you're asking me to talk about another club at the moment, but I mean, there's no doubt that you know, for in Collingwood's interest, I mean, we're about trying to bring as much you know, talent into the organisation as we can, but we're very big on bringing the right character as well. And we understand that, all things being equal, that Collingwood are a destination club given its size, the fact that we play in the MCG. But we also would like to see us be a destination club in the way that Hawthorn or potentially Sydney have been the last couple of years, because of, you know, simply because of their success over a period of time. Maybe Geelong have been in that position as well and still are. But yeah, well, you're always trying to get the right people in, and then you've got to look after those people and provide them with the right opportunity to make the most of their careers. And the clubs that do that the best are still the ones that that get the best out of themselves, and ultimately that's what we're all trying to achieve.
I mean, I know you probably don't want to mention names, but it sounds like you probably will be after some sort of big fish. I mean, you could probably improve to 7th or 8th just off the back of the list you've got now, but to be a premiership contender, you need to land somebody over summer. Is that the way you look at it as well?
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I think that we've, you know, the majority of our improvement is going to come from players that are on our list at the moment. 12 months ago, we identified, well, 36 months ago, but we sort of headed on the program of bringing in some elite young talents and putting a batch of two or three drafts together to look at, you know, bringing in a batch of 20, 21, 22-year-olds that were going to complement the experience that we have, that we had on the list, you know, from the premiership years or the grand final years in 10 and 11. And we think we've been able to do that pretty well. We know more about our list now than we did 12 months ago, more than we did 24 months ago. We know that we have a gap analysis of maybe some areas where we can add a little more class or a little more finish. But I do believe that fundamentally that the majority of our improvement will still come from within, because we've still got an enormous capacity to turn potential into kinetic with some of the young players that are yet to have played 50 games that have played pretty important roles for us over the last two or three years. And complementing to play football together and improve our on-field success.
So you wouldn't
week by week.
You wouldn't advocate having a crack at Dangerfield then if he was on the open market?
I'm not advocating having a crack at any player that potentially could make us better. What I'm saying is that we believe that most of our improvement will come from within.
Yeah.
But like every other side, we believe that we will be able to add elements to what we've got now, apparently. But I still think that most of our development will come from the youth of and our recruiting procedures of the last two or three drafts.
Yeah, one of those was Matt Scherenberg. Lots of issues with injury. Got back in the side late in the season. I suspect he's going to play this week. But he's one guy that when I saw all those kids line up, he looked like the best kid of that particular draft, and we've seen very little of him.
Yeah, look, he'll play his third full senior game. He's played one as a sub, so it'll be his fourth game of senior footy. Basically, the last two pre-seasons, he spent trying to get himself back to 100% fitness, either over his feet or over the knee, which was a real kick in the guts late last year for us and for him. But he's come on really well. His pre-season, clearly, as I said, was getting back to full fitness to be able to be fit to play. Next year will be his first opportunity to really look at, okay, I'm going to build my speed, build my sprint, my strength and my endurance, and worry about the positive aspects of my preparation rather than just coming back to square. So we're really excited by what that could bring, and I know that there's a bit of talk around at the moment, but talking to Shaz, he wants to stay with us, and he's directed his management to that end, and it's just a matter of us finding a fair and equitable arrangement for that to proceed.
Hopefully that comes pretty quickly. Bucks, I've read your comments regarding resting players. I think most people in the game believe that resting players is the right of the club that finishes on top of the ladder. And I think that the rule that they wrote looks good, probably feels good, but I'm not sure how it's going to go when it's truly tested. For instance, the West Coast are in second position. Let's say they rested their players and ended up dropping down to fourth. You could argue that they simply wanted to get a home final and crack at Fremantle, who they beat by 10 goals. Do you think there's any way that the game is going to be able to punish a club that tries to enhance their chances of winning a premiership?
It's really difficult, isn't it? Because integrity is the word that we speak of and that we use. And I mean, there is anything it takes mentality, or win at all costs mentality, and we don't want that to ever pervade what we do. Given that if that's in fact what you do, well then there will be costs to individuals or to the integrity of the competition. But I think the AFL are doing all they can. And we are very conscious of making sure that when people turn up to a game of footy, they know exactly what they're watching, and they know that both teams are the 22 that run out in the park are giving their very best to win that game of footy. Across the whole season, you don't have your whole playing list available. Like, there's genuine injuries. There's players that are managed throughout the season, but when it happens en masse, it definitely sends the alarm bells off for us a little bit. I've seen Freo. This will be the third time if Freo do it. This will be the third time they've done it. They did it. They did it against St Kilda 2 years ago. I think the year before, or even 4 or 5 years ago, they did it against Hawthorn down at Launceston.
Yep.
And then they beat Hawthorn quite convincingly on that day. So, whilst I read with interest Ross Lyon talking about the intensity of their players. I mean, whilst they go in with different personnel, Freo will still be expecting to perform very well and to give a good account of themselves. But it's a slippery slope. It's a really tough one. But I'm absolutely sold on the fact that each club needs to make the decisions based on its best chances of winning a flag, and needs to be encouraged to do so. But the situation you mentioned at the beginning is a little unsavoury when you think about trying to go down a position on the ladder to improve your chances.
Well, you're in that position yourself. You couldn't rest 8 players or spell 8 players this week if you wanted to, because let's face it, you're better off finishing 12th than 9th. If you win this week, you could finish 9th, but you still have to try to finish 9th, don't you?
I think you can trick yourself as well, to be honest, Wayne. I think you get caught up in playing games and trying to manipulate things to suit yourself, and in the end you can forget who you are really quickly. And a football club, the culture and the expectations and the behaviours that you want to encourage are so important, and we want winning behaviours, we want winning mentalities, and you're not going to be able to maintain and sustain that if you're prepared to take shortcuts for a short-term result. So that's definitely not something that enters our psyche.
Bucks, always great to pick your brain. We appreciate you joining us. I know that there's a big campaign you're part of and your football club's part of. The TAC launched a new campaign towards zero last week, aiming for zero deaths and serious injuries on our roads. And you've been part of that massive as well. And I'm sure you're sending it to your players, not just to the wider community.
Yeah, absolutely. It can get a little bit close to you at times. And obviously with Brett Ratton's son passing in an accident, it's a shocking thing to happen, and you don't want it to happen. So, yeah, I think anything that TAC does, we're more than happy to be a part of, and that'll be featured over the weekend.
Good stuff, Bucks. TAC, part of Collingwood's round 23, because they're their match partner in that game. Let's hope you get a... How many will you get there, Bucks? You should maybe throw the gates open for everybody, not just kids.
Well, I would have thought that... The Collingwood fans, seeing our young boys go about their business last week, would be excited enough to go and get a last glimpse of them for season 2015. So we'd encourage our supporters to get along en masse, and I'm sure the Bombers fans will as well.
Thanks for your time, Bucks.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you. Nathan Buckley joining us.